You know, when I began my research, I had people telling me, just in an offhand manner, when they found out what I was inquiring into, well, you know, Richard, you ought to really be paying attention to the Navy because they're the big ones involved in this field. And now the people telling me this, to my knowledge, were not people that worked in any compartmentalized secret programs. This was the prototypical, or, you know, the average man and woman in the street. But they were people who had heard things, just information falling through the cracks. And I dismissed it. I thought that they were well-meaning but misguided individuals, because I knew what the Navy did, and they didn't do those kinds of things, in my mind. But as my research has continued over the last, now, 14 years, I have discovered, indeed, the Navy is interested in those things, and I've continued to have people telling me that, and I'm finding more and more documentation, including some from Navy sources directly, that indicate to me that the Navy, because of its strong degree of interest in both underground and undersea facilities, in my estimation, George, almost certainly has made these things. I've received communications from people, both written and orally, telling me that indeed there are clandestine undersea facilities, the Gulf of Mexico, off both coasts, in the Pacific and the Atlantic, and understand the technology exists and has for decades to go down in the seafloor into the bedrock beneath the ocean bottom, and there hollow out substantial caverns and tunnel systems using tunnel boring machines and other machinery, and install airlocks and so forth and life support systems. And you can live in some degree of creature comfort down there.
What are they doing down there, Richard?
Well, see, what I have been told, and I cannot prove it, is that one of the things is mining for precious metals, among other things. I would assume those would include such metals as platinum, gold, uranium, and things like that that have great value. And, of course, if you were on the inside of a program like the CIA or the Navy or something like that, and you were mining your own stash of gold bullion or uranium or platinum, you can see how very valuable that would be.
Sure. I keep thinking of the movie The Abyss also, where there's this underground city ship craft, as it was,
yes,
is down there.
Well, I don't rule out that some of that could be down there too. One of the things that became clear to me in reading John Pena Craven's book, The Silent War, and let me say parenthetically that John Pena Craven was in charge of the Navy's Office of Special Research. He was the Navy's main research scientist for their special projects during the height of the Cold War. And John Pena Craven, as a matter of fact, says outright in his book, The Silent War, that he was tasked, I believe, by Edward Teller and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to develop technology to retrieve militarily sensitive hardware from the ocean floor, from the continental shelves, and also in the deep ocean environment. Now, what would such hardware be? Well, of course, it could include aircraft and spacecraft that crashed into the ocean,
sure,
that was sent up by other nations. But I don't think you have to stretch your imagination too far to understand that extending Linda Moulton Howe's research on retrieved allegedly alien technology, that given that the majority of the Earth's surface is covered by water, that if this stuff is crashing here and there, that some of it certainly must be crashing into oceans and seas as well. And the Pentagon, I think reading between the lines, I think John Pena Craven is trying to tell us the Pentagon was going after that stuff down there.
And we've heard lots of stories of some kind of undersea base in the Antarctica. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, I think my research indicates that these undersea bases could be anywhere. virtually at any depth, and that the Antarctic region is definitely one of them. I think the Antarctic would be of high interest to the Navy, for one thing. The Navy has been the agency that's provided the logistical support in the Antarctic for the past half century, from the days that Admiral Byrd was going down there, continuing right down to the present time. The Navy has had a very active presence in the Antarctic, and for whatever reason, a great deal of what happens down there is classified on, or under some kind of security wrap. For the life of me, I don't understand that, but I believe to the best of my knowledge, highly strange events have transpired in the Antarctic. I've tried to find out what's going on down there, George, and it ain't easy, buddy.
No,
it
it's
is not.
Not
an easy thing to research.
And well protected as well.
Very well protected. The United States Navy and the National Science Foundation and Antarctic Support Associates, which operate out of the Denver suburbs, by the way, have for decades clamped down and very tightly controlled what happens down there, who gets to go down, what they get to do while they're down there, when they go down, when they come back, where they stay while they're there. The whole thing is very tightly controlled. What's the big deal? I don't know.
See, I've always heard that we have found an underwater city there.
Built one.
Or more. True.
And then, of course, there's the story that won't go away that the Nazis during World War II built facilities down there underground in Antarctica. I have an open mind on that. I've read enough to know that the Nazis certainly had a presence in the Antarctic and sub-Antarctic region. And they sent expeditions down there, and there were some huge U-boats that turned up months after, in one case, I think a year or two after the end of World War II, down in southern Argentina. Pulled into port and essentially said, okay, the war is over, we're turning ourselves in. But well after war's end, George. Well after war's end.
And so you have to ask, where were they, right?
Where were they and what were they doing? Just driving around the ocean for a year? I don't believe it.
I'll tell you one thing, Richard. I don't think I'd want to be in some underwater bubble or city for a long time. Would you?
Unless there were women down there, which raises... which raises the question...
No, you're serious about this, right?
I'm telling you, because in the 1966 document that the Navy came out with on their proposed rock site program, made that very point explicitly that if you're going to have these deep self-sustaining bases beneath the seafloor, you want to have family units. Your average red-blooded male does not want to go away for a long time by himself, just with other men. Most men long for female companionship.
Sure.
And so the idea was that you would actually have a resident population with family units, which raises a question as to whether this has been done and whether we now have a multi-generational breeding resident underground undersea population, whether there is at this point more than one human society on this planet. What I'm saying, George, are there one or more other breeding, self-sustaining human populations underground undersea that are for the most part compartmentalized from our topside society? This is a question I've been asking myself more and more.